This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
Well, there are seven jurors who are now seated in the Trump case. And this is a surreal moment when you think about it. Those people on the jury, and some of them come from all different walks of life. We're going to get into some of the folks that have already been seated in the Trump case. They're going to be deciding the fate of the former president of the United States. And potentially, if this person becomes the future president, obviously it's left to the voters, but you never know. People might say, oh, wait a minute, he's been convicted now. And some of these people, there's one person who's on the jury, and I find this hard to believe. They said that their favorite news channels are Fox News and MSNBC. One of them talked about some of the opinion shows on Fox News. I know all the hosts there. I know them all well. I worked at Fox News for 2 years. I'm sorry. The way the news business is these days, it's not exactly like you're a fan of MSNBC and of Fox. You're usually a fan of one or the other. And to me, that sounds like a juror who's trying to get seated on this high profile case so they can kind of go up afterwards and say, yeah, I was the person there who decided the fate of Donald Trump. And some of the people look really upset that they got kicked off. Some of them look really gleeful that they're still in the running. It's an interesting thing. And that's what happens when there's some big celebrity cases that are on board. And boy, do the Trump legal team experts got to really weed through these people. Because there was one person who said, you know, jail that person, jail him, lock him up. That's what they said after the 2020 election. And they didn't happen to mention that when the prosecution was asking questions. It's the voir dire. This is the jury process where you weed through what's going to be maybe hundreds of people. And as they're going through the case, they're like, well, have you ever had an opinion about Trump? Not really. No, no, no. Well, I would say putting on your social media after the 2020 election, lock them up. I would say that's a pretty obvious, strong opinion, don't you think? Maybe that person shouldn't get picked. Maybe that person can't really be fair. And that person apparently said, oh, no, but I've changed my opinion. Now I'm much more open-minded. I find that a little hard to believe. The problem's going to be, how do you find somebody who doesn't have opinion about Donald Trump? How do you find somebody in New York City that could truly be fair and impartial to the former president of the United States, who is now the leading candidate for president of the United States again? How do you really weed through it all and actually figure it out and figure out if this individual can really be fair? And are they masquerading? Because there's some of these people, again, who really want to be on the Trump jury so they can tell their friends and family that they got picked. There was one person who was like, oh, God, I was looking in his eyes. I found him mysterious. I found him interesting. Well, Trump is definitely interesting. I don't think he's too much of a mystery. I think we all know who he is. Mysterious? I've known Trump a long time. I don't know if I'd use the word mysterious. I would use interesting. I would use energetic. I would use someone who's straight ahead and says what he thinks. And there was one juror who got excluded who did say that to the media, said, you know, I always admire the fact that he speaks his mind. Some people, you don't know what they're thinking, or you don't know who they stand for. You don't know who they are as politicians. At least I respect the fact that he's forthright. I'll give him that. I definitely would agree with them on that. But how do you really pick somebody and see if they sincerely really can be impartial and go in with an open mind and go in being fair, go in thinking that, you know, maybe all these things that have been said about him by President Biden and everybody else, maybe they're not true. Maybe they've been living under a rock, too, because, you know, if you figure out people, have you seen any commercials about President Trump? Have you seen any advertisements about President Trump? I mean, that is very, very, very hard to weed through and to figure out who goes in without a preconceived bias. And that's hard in New York City, where 85% of the people last go round voted for President Biden. So you're going to plop them in the middle of New York. You're going to have them walk in every day as President Biden is out there in Pennsylvania. He had three stops in Pennsylvania over the next few days, including Scranton. And he's out there and he's bashing Trump. And the witnesses in this case are also out there bashing Trump. Michael Cohen's like doing the rounds. He's out there talking to everybody. He's doing all the media tours. And yet Trump can't say anything about the witnesses in this case. That doesn't seem fair. And in the last few hours, Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, of course, in the case, who can't wait to say that he's the guy who got the first conviction on Trump, because that's probably where this is headed with the New York jury. Let's be honest, guys. Well, he's out there saying that Trump is violating the gag order. And Alvin Bragg is also bragging that maybe we need to do a little more than just fine President Trump a few thousand dollars. Let's maybe consider jail time. He literally suggested that there should actually be potentially jail time for President Trump for not abiding by the, quote, one-sided gag order that this judge, Judge Marchand, put in place. So there are so many things that just stink and smell wrong about all of this. And President Trump, of course, right away said this gag order is ridiculous. What he did was he actually had a post on social media that had to do with Michael Cohen. They said he could not talk about the case. He could not talk about the witnesses. He could make a criticism about the judge and he could make a criticism about Alvin Bragg and that's it. But meanwhile, everybody else is out there throwing comments about him. And he's also running for president. And he says a lot of this is because he's running for president, that it's a political persecution. So the judge is clearly trying to hamstring him. And today he had an issue with one of the jurors because he said, wait a minute, this lock him up thing, maybe should kick the juror off. And he said something to his attorney and the judge went off and scolded Trump in the middle of the courtroom, said, you know, Mr. Trump, you cannot be speaking. You should not be making these expressions. You should not be commenting. He's just supposed to sit there and take it and can't even defend himself, can't even make a comment to his attorney. I mean, this is really surreal. This is like a Soviet show trial, you know, where they're like, let's bring in the man and then we'll figure out the crime. And you can't speak. We're the only ones who are allowed to speak. They can say whatever they want about you. I know you're running for president. Sorry, you got to be here for a few weeks while Joe Biden's out there in Pennsylvania. Good luck. This is round one. It really is unbelievable. And here is President Trump today after court talking about the gag order, which many legal experts, even Democratic legal experts, have said this is overreach.
Do you believe you violated the gag order?
No, I didn't. There shouldn't be a gag order. Let me just tell you. The gag order is totally unconstitutional. The judge should not be there. The judge is highly conflicted. He should not be there.
The judge is highly conflicted. His daughter is out there and has a relations firm, a public relations firm, and also a promotions company where she is helping to support Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Adam Schiff. I mean, and she was out there even like boasting about the trial and using it for like campaign promotions. How is that not a conflict of interest? This is your daughter. And the judge won't recuse himself. He keeps putting the gag order on. The daughter can say whatever she wants about Trump, but Trump can't say a thing about the daughter. Trump can't say anything as Michael Cohen's out there doing the rounds. He's already served time for questionable activity. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So here is President Trump today. Before he walked into court, and in typical Trump fashion, he laid it all out.
Thank you very much. This is a trial that should have never been brought. It's a trial that is being looked upon, looked at all over the world, they're calling. They're looking at it and analyzing it. Every legal pundit, every legal scholar said this trial is a disgrace. We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. If you look at Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, all great legal scholars, there's not one that we've been able to find that said this should be a trial. I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense. Some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. That's exactly what it was. And you've been indicted over that? I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election, and it's not working that way. It's working the opposite way. So check that out. Legal expense. It's called legal expense. That's what you're supposed to call it.
Mr. Trump,
get indicted on that. Nobody's ever seen it. Nobody has ever seen anything like it. So thank you very much for coming. I'm now going to sit down for many hours. I am now going to sit down. The voters understand it. All you have to do is look at the polls. This is a sham trial, and the judge should recuse him.
And by the way, the microphone's not great because they don't really want microphones there directly near him in the hallways. So they're trying to muffle him any which way they can. They don't want him to talk about any of the witnesses, even though they can talk about him. And even if he posts anything second or third hand on social media, then Alvin Bragg, who has a lot of crime in New York City, and we know the story of the crime in New York City and New York State. Well, despite all of that, guess what? Now they're trying to suggest that maybe somehow Trump should actually face jail time for violating a gag order. This is absurd. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to line four. Harriet, your thoughts about all this.
Thank you for taking my call, Rita. This is so outrageous, what they're doing to President Trump. He is a great patriot. And if this is not deja vu all over again with the Dreyfus trial, accused by Emile Zola, what they did to Dreyfus, and they jailed him over false charges. It was a
what's the Dreyfus
court.
What's the Dreyfus? What are you talking about?
It's a repeat of the Dreyfus trial where they in France in the 19 what was it, the 1900s.
I thought you were talking about something recent. I'm like, can we talk about modern times? But Harriet, I hear where you're going. It's sort of the fixes in. And you know what? It reminds me, sadly, so much also of the case with Letitia James and that court. That was a civil proceeding against Trump. And in this particular case, the judge made up his mind. Remember, in the civil case, it was just a question of how much they were going to fine Trump. And then remember, at the end of the day, it was like $500 million. It was so absurd that an appeals court judge even came in and overturned it. So it's like it feels the same way. It's like the fix is in. Like Trump knows he's going to probably have to appeal. Maybe there'll be somebody of good conscience. I mean, think about that. That could be an amazing moment that if they go there and they'll go, wait a minute, the world's on fire. Israel and Iran, there are so many issues going on. Iran's throwing, missiles and drones all over Israel. We're dealing with that. You got Ukraine and Russia. You got the border. And Alvin Bragg is dealing with this, This is the first time you're going to have a former president in a criminal trial on something meaningless like this. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. Maybe there'll be people. Maybe I'll be surprised, guys. Maybe there will be people of good conscience that sit in that jury room and say, no, I am not going to do that. We'll talk about that when we come back, everybody. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
The Rita Cosby Show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's the Rita Cosby Show.
In a courtroom, and you could tell that some of the jurors were definitely enamored seeing him. Some didn't like seeing him. Certainly with Trump, there are no shortages of opinions. But this comes at a time where crime is really an enormous issue across this country. And in fact, Carl Hastings, he's the New York Assembly Speaker. This is the guy who was holding up the budget for a while because he didn't believe that there should be stiffer penalties on retail crimes. There was a question of whether or not they can enhance some of the penalties for those who commit attacks on retail workers. And Governor Kathy Hochul said, to her credit, that she wanted to see penalties increased. Carl Hastie, again, the Assembly Speaker in New York, said he didn't want it. Finally, apparently, the good news is he has caved. The question is, to what degree? But he still said, you know what? There's a larger issue here. People feel like they want a stiffer penalty for an action that's been taken. Fine. I guess I'll cave, essentially. He still doesn't understand why it's important to punish criminals. This is unbelievable. And this is, although they seem to be very happy that they're going after President Trump. It's incredible. JC from Pennsylvania, your thoughts about all this, my friend, on line five.
Hey, Rita, how are you?
Good, but it's surreal, you know?
I know, it's unbelievable. So first off, Trump could only get a fair trial if they take the case off the mainland and bring it down to one of the islands, U.S. Grenada, U.S. Virgin Islands. That's the only way he's ever going to get a plan.
You know what? I sadly believe you because I think, and also if you live on Mars and maybe have never heard the name Trump.
Rita Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. Goya Cares does so much to combat human trafficking and restore the values of faith and family. So be sure to check them out, GoyaCares.com. And in tonight's Back the Blue segment, a very sad story coming from upstate New York where a Syracuse cop and a sheriff's deputy were shot and killed in an upstate New York community. This happened over the weekend in an exchange of gunfire in which the suspect was also killed. The deadly scene played out in front of a house in the Syracuse suburb of Salina before 9 o'clock as officers were investigating a suspicious car. And the officer with the Syracuse Police Department and a deputy from a nearby county, they were hit by gunfire. Also, the police chief from Syracuse came out very quickly and said immediately, "We lost two heroes on that night, two men who answered the call of duty to put the badge on to protect our community, to protect and also to serve. We lost both of them tonight." They were originally involved in what looked like a routine traffic stop of a suspicious car. Then the driver sped off. And then when they tried to stop them, they exchanged gunfire. The suspect was also killed. Both the officer and the deputy were rushed immediately to the hospital. And family members and friends of the officers came out and said, "Our worst nightmare has come true." So, of course, our thoughts and prayers tonight are with the police department there in Syracuse and Onondaga's sheriff deputy who was shot and killed. Of course, all of their family members in blue who support each and every one of them every single night. You know how much we love our law enforcement here on The Rita Cosby Show. And tonight, I also want to give, on a happy note, a shout out to my dear friend Adam Weiss, the great PR guru. He represents so many of the top clients across the country. I adore Adam Weiss. Also, it was his birthday. Also, Angela Gorman, two PR and publishing gurus in the industry across the country. And I popped into a fun little birthday party for them, which was great, at an awesome restaurant, Benny John's Bar and Grill on East 48th Street in New York City. We had awesome burgers and crab cakes, obviously a great birthday cake, lots of yummy food. The food was terrific. I saw some great steaks and other stuff there. I couldn't stay, but it looked awesome. And the owners there, Mirso and his son Dennis, both from Montenegro, two great patriots. So if you get a chance, go by and check it out. Benny John's Bar and Grill. And of course, a happy, happy birthday to my dear friend Adam Weiss and also Angela Gorman. It was awesome to see you guys and celebrate all the great work you do. You do so much great work for charities, too. So bravo for all the great work you do. I was with some wonderful, wonderful people tonight. And we are talking about the Trump trial. And it was day two today. Seven jurors seated. And Alan Dershowitz said he cannot believe what he is seeing. He has never seen such craziness in the judicial system. And he also took it to task, especially about the gag order that's imposed on President Trump. Here is Alan Dershowitz.
Well, the gag order is unconstitutional. You can, under the Constitution, attack witnesses against you. You can call them liars. You can say they're guilty. You can and they can sue you for defamation. But there's nothing in the Constitution that permits a judge to prevent you from attacking witnesses. Also, there's nothing that would prevent a defendant from attacking the judge's daughter. If the judge's daughter will profit financially in her company from a Trump conviction, she's already profiting from the trial itself in front of the judge. He has the right to bring that out and the right to say that. The other thing that his lawyers have a right to do, and I don't know if they're aware of this, there's a statute in New York that says that you can make a motion to allow the defendant, in this case Trump, to leave the courtroom any day to go to his son's graduation, to go to the Supreme Court. But it says the government, the state, must consent to it. Now, that's clearly unconstitutional. The state has no legitimate right to prevent a defendant from exercising his First Amendment right to campaign or exercising his familial right to go to his son's graduation. The only right here is the right of the defendant to be at the trial. And if he wants to waive it, and the statute permits a waiver, but somebody inserted into the statute the fact that the state, the prosecution, has to consent. That's clearly unconstitutional. I think if that went up to the higher courts, it would win. He has the right not to be at his trial.
And yet, he is being forced to be there every single day of the trial. And this could go on for weeks upon weeks. And meantime, President Biden, who is down in most of the polls that we see to President Trump, but it's very close. It looks at, you know, if you look at the different polls, especially in the state of Pennsylvania, that's a big state. And Biden won that last time, but just squeaked it out in 2020. But yet, if you look at some of the latest polls, Trump is up by 1 or 2 points, even in some of like the New York Times, Siena polls. Which are not necessarily always favorable to Trump, but yet he is close, but still a little ahead in those. So every day makes a difference being out there on the campaign trail. And what is Joe Biden doing today? He is out on the campaign trail. He's talking to people. And of course, even though he says he has nothing to do with any of these cases against President Trump, he is out there and he's blasting President Trump on the campaign trail. Meanwhile, Trump is being like forced to be, you know, cemented down every day in a New York City courtroom. I mean, you can't make it up. This is right in the throes of the election season. We're almost close to where the conventions are going to start. Of course, the Republican one starts first. That's July. Then you've got August, which is going to be the Democratic one, even though there'll probably be a lot of protests. These pro-Palestinian protests will be outside there. But then you've got the debates and then you've got Election Day. I mean, it is in the throes of it right now. So there's President Biden out on the campaign trail. And what is he doing? He says he has nothing to do with the court and he's not gleeful, he says, at all about what's going on with President Trump. But yet listen to what President Biden said just a little bit ago at a rally in Pennsylvania.
You know, say if Trump's stock in the Truth Social, his company, drops any lower, he might do better under my tax plan than his.
There he is, slamming President Trump while he is out and about. So there really seems to be something a little bit unseemly about this entire process. He also came out and said he looks defeated looking. That was another one of the comments that is coming from one of the other events. He said, Donald Trump looks defeated looking. Just the other day, quote, a defeated looking guy came up to me and asked if I could help. He was drowning in debt. And I said, I'm sorry, Donald, but I can't help you. That's what he told a small crowd in Scranton, Pennsylvania today. So he's enjoying this every minute. Watching Donald Trump sitting as a criminal defendant, the first time again ever that we're seeing a former president in American history in a criminal case. And it's over this issue of whether it was a campaign issue or a business issue. This is something that would normally, even as a misdemeanor, they wouldn't go after. And yet Alvin Bragg has lumped it in, saying that it was in the course of covering up another issue, another crime like campaign finance. And that's why he's elevated it to a federal case. And now it's a Class E felony, which is a low level felony, but it's still a felony. And it's forcing President Trump to have to be in the court every single day. Isn't it interesting? This is something you see in Russia. This is something you see and a banana republic. This is not what you should see in America. And guys, I don't care who it is, if it's Republican, Democrat, whoever, this is not the way justice in America should work. It shouldn't be. If it was Biden, you shouldn't see Biden tied up for something like this. You shouldn't see anybody tied up for this, let alone a presidential candidate of the United States. There is something so crazy and so cuckoo about this entire process. And in the middle of all this, as we are hearing a lot of people say, wait a minute, the Democrats seem to be the ones who are the threat to democracy by doing this, by perpetrating this criminal effort, this criminalizing of the judicial system. It really is shocking. And here is Biden's co-chair of the campaign, Mitch Landrieu. And he's making it sound like President Biden is all kumbaya. Listen to this one.
How much of a coincidence is it that the president is going to Scranton and leaning into this message while Donald Trump just arrived, we're told, at a New York City courtroom this morning.
Well, here's the incredible thing that should be obvious to everybody. Joe Biden gets up every day fighting for the American people. He does what I call the hard work of governing well all the time. And he can focus on that because he focuses on bringing people together. As you said, the former president is otherwise predisposed as a consequence of actions and things that he's done. And everything this guy touches turns to dirt.
Are you dancing around it for a particular reason?
I'm not dancing around it at all.
Is the campaign going to talk about the fact that the former president is in court?
You asked me a direct question. Yeah. The president is being the president. Mm-hmm. He's running the country.
He's being the president. He has nothing to do with this. It just kind of happens to be that he is having the leading opponent against him on the other side, on the other political side, just happens to be tied up in a courtroom, and the whole Democratic machine has nothing to do with it. There is something so un-American about this entire process, guys. It just feels disgusting. It really does. You can't make it up. And we're talking about what's going on in the world. There's so much issue with crime. You got so many issues with Iran that's happening right now. And now we're bracing to see how is Israel going to respond to Iran after all the barrage of incoming that they got over the weekend with cruise missiles and drones, hundreds of them. Landing in Israel, luckily intercepted, so they could not cause any damage. But in the airspace of Israel, I mean, it's extraordinary. And yet, what do we have now? We have someone dealing over a business leisure issue, that there was a misrepresentation of whether it should be a legal entry or whether it should be a campaign entry. Donald Trump maintains that it was a legal payment and that it was authorized, and that's how many people list it. And yet, for some reason, almost like the civil case, it's like, let's bring in Donald Trump, and it's almost like a foregone conclusion. It's like, again, the old Soviet show trial all over again. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, you can't make this up. It really is like alternate universe.
Absolutely, Rita. You know, at best, this case is basically a confidentiality case, and that's completely legal. It happens all the time. But you had mentioned Bragg numerous times. From what I understand, Bragg personally selected the chief administrative judge, which also happened to be the same administrative judge in Steve Bannon's case and also the Weisselberg case. And as far as conflict of interest is concerned with regard to Mershand, obviously his daughter has already benefited. As you mentioned, you played that clip from Professor Dershowitz. She, with her fundraising from Trump haters, raised already over $93 million. And New York City rules and regs allows or specifies that a judge who has a relative to the sixth degree, and this is a direct relative, his daughter, he needs to recuse himself because he could be affected by the proceedings that are before him. So everything needs to be taken into consideration cumulatively. The contributions, his daughter being a relative who's already directly benefiting from this whole process. And for those in your audience who I'm waiting to hear call, all the Trump haters, and I always say I can explain it to them, but I cannot make them understand it. You were talking about how the original underlying charge was a misdemeanor, falsifying business records. Well, again, New York law allows the charge to be transmuted into a felony if you can show that the defendant falsified the business records with the intent to commit another crime. And they need to specify what the other crime is.
But they haven't. But they haven't yet.
Well, they have, because they stated one very specific crime, and that was, you know, breaking the campaign finance laws, the contribution laws.
But you know the irony of it all, Jacqueline, is that the federal authorities, who are the ones, as opposed to New York State, by the way, and I know you know this because obviously you always do your homework, which is why I love hearing from you, Jacqueline. The federal authorities had the option to go after them after Trump and his team on this, right? And to go after specifically Trump. And this was their jurisdiction because campaign finance typically falls under the federal. They passed Then also Cy Vance, who was the DA prior to Alvin Bragg, he passed, right? And so then Bragg initially passed, and it wasn't until this book came out from Mark Pomerantz, who was another former prosecutor there with Bragg, who criticized Bragg because he doesn't like Trump. And he was upset that Bragg was passing on it. And Bragg felt sort of like, oh, God, I'm being chastised. And then maybe he saw this moment that he can reinvigorate. The case didn't change. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was it's an election year. Trump's running again. And Bragg thought he could get his bite at the apple and maybe go down in history as the first guy to get a criminal charge against Trump. You know, I mean, nothing else changed. And yet it's absurd, Jacqueline, because in any other moment, if it was like an average citizen, just like the last case, that's why business people are going, whoa, wait a minute. There's different elevations and different amounts added to their real estate repertoire. Where somebody, you know, says, okay, that's what it is. That's what the valuation is. That's a very subjective field. They've never really seen anybody go after somebody for it, and yet they did with Trump. That's the civil case. Same thing here. A business lizard. Do you actually think, like, I mean, of all the things going on in the world, they're going after Trump for, like, a business ledger entry that even this DA passed over? It's shocking. Jacqueline, last word real quick.
President Trump probably wasn't even aware of the records keeping end of it, the aspect of it, because Michael Cohen was involved in all of this. And Michael Cohen also waived his attorney-client privilege and told his personal attorney when he was facing jail time, which he served, his personal attorney, Bob Costello, said to him, if you have anything on Donald Trump, now is the time to use it as you get out of jail free card.
And he said, I don't have anything at that time. You're exactly correct. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. And Bob Costello, I remember, was on with us even telling us exactly that conversation. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And after the break, we'll tell you where Donald Trump went after court today. Let's just say Jose Alba. There's a hint, and we'll talk about that in the next hour, as well as the impeachment articles for Alejandro Mayorkas. Finally delivered over to the Senate. Tomorrow, we're going to see what the Senate's made of. Chuck Schumer has already hinted that he may just throw it out, just dismiss it. I guess 10 million people crossing the border illegal, and all the individuals when it has to deal with human trafficking, 85,000 children missing under this president that have come into this country through cartels and human traffickers. I guess they don't deserve any attention. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dom, line five. Dom, your thoughts about all this.
Yeah, Rita, I have a feeling that the Trump-hating Manhattan jury will suck it up and find him not guilty just based on one issue. The proposal to house the new settlers in Manhattan Central Park. Remember the Manhattan Central Park jogger that was raped?
Yes.
I'm sure Manhattan residents still do, and hopefully still will exercise good judgment and make history and find Trump not guilty so he can win and fix New York and the country. That's what I'm thinking.
Now, do you think there's a chance that a jury will do that? Do you think maybe it'll end up in a hung jury? That would also obviously still be a victory. What do you think?
Yes, because I have been to New York and I've been jogging around and walking around Central Park many, many times. And I'll bet you if the residents who have been, I guess this happened a few years ago, but I'm willing to bet a lot of those residents still remember what happened to the jogger. And many of those other people got beat up in Central Park. And I'm sure if their people have been staying there long enough, it's fresh in their memory. They'll say, we don't like Trump. We hate him. But we don't want these immigrants flooding the country and being settled in our parks and
Yeah, that's an interesting point. We'll continue after the break, guys.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.